It is Christmas Eve in the year of Huitzilopochtli, 1969. 300 Chicanos have gathered in front of St. Basil's Roman Catholic Church. 300 brown-eyed children of the sun have come to drive the money changers out of the richest temple in Los Angeles. It is a dark, moonless night, and ice-cold wind meets us at the doorstep. We carry little white candles as weapons. In pairs on the sidewalk, we trickle and bump and sing with the candles in our hands, like a bunch of cockroaches gone crazy. I am walking around giving orders like a drill sergeant. From the mansions of Beverly Hills, the faithful have come in black shawls, in dead fur of beasts out of foreign jungles. Calling us savages, they have already gone into the church, pearls in hand, diamonds in their Colgate teeth. Now they and Cardinal James Francis McIntyre sit patiently on wooden benches inside, crossing themselves and waiting for the bell to strike 12, while out in the night, 300 greasers from across town march and sing tribal songs in an ancient language. St. Basil's is McIntyre's personal monstrosity. He recently built it for $5 million, a harsh structure for puritanical worship, a simple solid excess of concrete, white marble, and black steel. It is a tall building with a golden cross and jagged cuts of purple stained glass 30 feet in the air, where bleeding Christ bears down on the people of America below. Inside, the fantastic organ pumps out a spooky religious hymn to this Christ child of golden locks and blue eyes, overlooking the richest drag in town. All around us, insurance companies with patriotic names are housed in gigantic towers of white plaster. Here, prestigious law firms perform their business for rich people who live next to jaded movie stars. The Bank of America, Coast Federal Savings, and all those other money institutions that sit in judgment over our lives keep the vaults across the street behind solid locks. But the personalized checkbooks now sit on the pews of St. Basil's, under siege by a gang of cockroaches from east of the Los Angeles River, from a Mexican-American barrio there called Tuner Flats. It is dark out on the sidewalks. Cars pass along Wilshire Boulevard and slow down when they see us. Most of our crowd are kids. Most of them have never attacked a church before. One way or another, I've been doing it for years. And for this and other reasons, I have been designated Vato Numero Uno, number one man, for this gig. The young wear clothes for battle, the old in thick woolen ponchos, gabans, and serapes. College-age kids in long hair and combat garb, khaki pants, olive drab field jackets, and paratrooper boots spit shine like those of the old veteranos who once went to war against America's enemies. Girls with long mascara eyes, long black hair done up chola style, with tight asses and full blouses bursting out with song. Three priests in black and brown shirts pass out the tortillas. 300 Chicanos and other forms of cockroaches munch on the buttered body of Huitzilopochtli, on the land-baked pancake of corn, lime, lard, and salt. Teetering over our heads are five gigantic papier-mâché figures with blank faces, front-lipped beaks, stonehead bishop dunce caps. A guitar gently plucks and sways Las Posadas to the memory of the white and blue hummingbird, the god of our fathers. We chew the tortilla softly. It is a night of miracles. Never before have the sons of the conquered Aztecas worshipped their dead gods on the doorstep of the living Christ. While the priests offer red wine and the poor people up-tilt earthen pottery to their brown cold lips, there are tears here, quiet tears of history. When the singing has ended and the prayers for the dead and the living are complete, I step forward and announce that we have been permitted to enter St. Basil's. A Chicano sergeant from Judd Davis's SOC squad just told me we could enter if we left our demonstration outside. "Do we need special passes?" I had baited him. "This is a church, Brown. Just tell them to hold it down when they go in. It's being televised." I knew that, of course. We were at the home base of the holy man who encouraged presidents to drop fire on poor cockroaches in far-off villages in Vietnam. From behind these stained glass windows, this man in the red frock and beanie, with the big blue ring on his knuckle, begs his God to give victory to the flames. "Viva la raza!" the crowd shouts at my announcement.